Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Adani Power Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you to the Q2 FY24 earnings call for Adani Power Limited. We are pleased to host the management. Today we have with us Mr. S.P. Khyalia, CEO, Mr. Shailesh Sawa, CFO, and Mr. Nishit Dave, AVP Investor Relations. We'll start with brief opening remarks by the management, which will be followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, dear friends. Thank you for joining us for the second quarter FY24 earnings call of Adani Power Limited. I am honored to address you on behalf of this dynamic and energetic company. I am pleased to report that in the second quarter of FY24, Adani Power has achieved exceptional financial performance with remarkable growth in volume, revenues and profits. This success is a testament to the hard work and dedication of our team and the unwavering support of our valued stakeholders. The Indian power market and the broader economy have been on a robust growth trajectory over the last 3 years, breaking away from era of slowing growth. In the 6 months ended 30th September 2023, aggregate power demand of country grew by 7%, while peak demand has touched a record high of 240 gigawatt. Power demand is projected to grow at a similar rate over the next few years. These growth opportunities have created a conducive environment for the power sector, and Adani Power is poised to seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Most of our regulatory matters have found satisfactory resolution. The recently commissioned Godda Power Plant has achieved operational stability and high levels of availability. The Mahan Power Plant, which was acquired in financial year 2022, has also been turned around successfully. Adani Power now is a financially strong organization with excellent revenue visibility, margin stability and low leverage. As we look to the future, the power sector in India presents a landscape of immense potential. While there is a strong focus on renewable energy, it is crucial to acknowledge that thermal power generation remains an integral part of India's energy mix. It serves as the cornerstone for supplying base load power and bridging the gap during periods of low renewable energy generation. Adani Power is committed to leveraging our strength and capabilities to contribute significantly to India's energy security and sustainable growth. We will continue to invest in cutting-edge technologies and explore avenues for cleaner and more efficient coal-based power generation. The company has also continue to maintain its leadership in matters related to ESG and achieved higher scores than its global peer group average in a number of evaluations. As a responsible corporate citizen, we will continue to work on our ESG initiatives, supporting social projects and community initiatives in harmony with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and support the local communities where we operate, with a focus on positively impacting lives and improving livelihoods. In conclusion, I am confident in the bright future that lies ahead for Adani Power. Our unwavering commitment to excellence, combined with the robust fundamentals of the Indian power market, positions us well for continued success. I look forward to working closely with all stakeholders as we embark on this exciting journey together. Thank you for your interest in Adani Power, and I now invite Mr. Shailesh Sawa, CFO of my company, to take you through the financial highlights for the recently concluded quarter. Thank you. Thank you, Kiyada sir. Good evening, friends. Let me begin by saying that Adani Power has now cemented its position as a highly competitive and reliable power generator. I am pleased to share some key developments that have contributed to our financial transformation. The successful resolution of our regulatory issues has brought much needed clarity and stability to our operational landscape. It has also redefined our path forward and created a foundation upon which we can build a financial resilient future. Further, we have judiciously utilized the cash accruals to reduce the debt on our balance sheet. This strategic move, in addition to our improved operational profitability, has enabled us to emerge as a financially stronger company. We have maintained high level of plant availability under our contractual commitments, which has enabled us to fully recover fixed capacity charges under PPAs. Also, capitalizing on our competitive strengths, we have been able to utilize our untied capacities gainfully in the merchant and short-term markets, which has further helped us improve our profitability. We have a clear vision of ensuring that Adani Power remains a financially strong power producer, delivering value to our stakeholders. I hope you have downloaded and gone through our earnings presentation, which has been uploaded on our website. I will now cover the performance updates for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2023. I will start with operating performance. We have maintained high availability of our power plants consistently by following reliability-centered maintenance utilizing cutting-edge technology. During Q2 FY24, APL achieved consolidated PLF of 58.3% and power sales volume of 18.1 billion units, which was substantially higher than the performance during the corresponding quarter of FY23. This also includes the performance of the 1600 megawatt Godda power plant commissioned in the first quarter of the financial year. During the quarter, PLF and dispatches improved due to higher power offtake in Mundra, Udupi, Raipur and Mahan plants, apart from the incremental contribution of Godda, which has ramped up its operations successfully in a short time after commissioning. Coming to financial performance, during the second quarter of FY24, APL registered a strong all-round growth on the basis of higher operational levels. Here, I am comparing the recurring revenue of Q2 FY24 with the reported revenue for Q2 FY23 to highlight the fact that we achieved stellar revenue and profitability growth even without considering one-time income in the recently concluded quarter. We posted a strong 44% growth in consolidated recurring revenue before considering one-time income as compared to reported revenues of Q2 FY23. Recurring revenue for Q2 FY23 was ₹12,155 crore. This revenue growth was on account of high availability of our fleet, including inclusion of Godda plant, higher dispatches under contracts due to growing power demand and also merchant sales. In comparison, a reduction in imported fuel prices resulted in fuel costs increasing at a lower rate, that is 29% for Q2 FY24, while other operating expenses increased by 24%, largely due to inclusion of Godda power plant and higher PLF. As a result, recurring EBITDA for Q2 FY24 grew by 85% to ₹4,336 crore before considering one-time income over the reported EBITDA for Q2 FY23. This demonstrates the inherent profitability and cash flow generation ability of the company. Depreciation charge has increased over Q2 FY23 due to the commissioning of the Godda power plant. On the other hand, finance cost has been under high degree of control due to our efforts at deleveraging to prudent utilization of our surplus cash flow. Consequently, recurring profit before tax, before considering one-time income, grew by more than 2.5 times to ₹2,443 crore as compared to Q2 FY23. After inclusion of one-time income on account of prior period revenue recognition of ₹2,781 crore in the form of regulatory claims for domestic coal shortfall, carrying costs, and late payment surcharge, profit before tax for Q2 FY24 was recorded at rupees 5,224 crore. Profit after tax for Q2 FY24 was 6,594 crore and included recognition of 1,371 crore of deferred tax asset during the quarter. Coming to our balance sheet and cash flows, recoveries of past dues have also added to the net worth of the company. At the same time, we became a debt-like company due to prepayment of a part of our debt. The liquidity situation has also improved as a result of better fuel cost recovery and timely payment from DISCOMs, which has resulted in a major improvement in the balance sheet health. As mentioned previously, APL has reduced its leverage significantly, with total debt coming down to Rs. 32,214 crore as of 30th September 2023, as compared to Rs. 42,242 crore as of 31st March 2023. These numbers also include working capital numbers. As a result, key leverage indicators have improved significantly, pointing at a healthy balance sheet and strong cash flows. For example, the fixed asset coverage ratio has improved by over 40% over this period, while debt to EBITDA based on trailing 12-month recurring EBITDA has become nearly half. It must also be noted that the contribution of the Godda plant to the trailing 12-month recurring EBITDA is for only part of the period, while the project debt is reflected fully in the balance sheet. This ratio will improve even further on a full-year run rate basis. Coming to ESG, our guiding principles are based on the UN Global Compact and Sustainable Development Goals. We follow the Global Reporting Initiative to report our performance on ESG parameters. The focus areas of our activities follow the UN Sustainable Development Goals framework, and we obtain external assurance for ensuring the robustness of our reporting. On emissions front, while APL operates well below the statutory ceiling, we have also taken proactive steps to control emissions at the combustion level itself. We are utilizing ultra-supercritical equipment exclusively for our new power plants. Further, as a part of our efforts to conserve critical resources, we are focusing on reducing the consumption of fresh water at our hinterland plants and to maintain it below statutory ceilings. On an aggregate basis, EPL has been able to stay consistently below the ceiling of 3.5 cubic meters per megawatt hour and operate the plants at an average of 2.3 cubic meters per megawatt hour of specific water consumption. At APL, we focus on three related areas from the UN SDG basket. These areas fall under health, education, and sustainable livelihood. Both our internal and external activities falling under areas of human resource development and occupational safety, and CSR activities cover this area. As a part of our CSR, we have community development programs such as good health and well-being, quality education, and decent work and economic growth running at various rural locations. Further, as a part of SDG framework adopted for our business operations, we also have high-quality training under Adani Power Training and Research Institute and an intensive health and safety initiative under Project Chetna. As a result of our all-round efforts in adhering to high ESG standards, APL has received encouraging scores in various ESG rankings that are at the top of the national PSL and better than the international score sectoral average. For example, APL has received the B score for fulfilling climate change and water security commitments from the carbon disclosure projects. We have achieved a score of 54 out of 100 in corporate sustainability assessment by S&P Global, which is better than world electric utility average score of 33 out of 100. Similarly, score 3.5 out of 5 in 50 AIG rating, which is better than world utility average score of 2.7 out of 5. Further, we aim to achieve single-use plastic-free certification at all of our 9 operating locations, up from the 7 certified so far. In conclusion, I would like to emphasize that APL now enjoys a high degree of revenue visibility through long-term capacity tie-ups and fuel security through domestic coal tie-ups and locational advantages. APL has now entered the era of regulatory maturity with all
of the major regulatory issues pertaining to domestic coal shortfall having been settled satisfactorily. Adani Power is now poised to take off successfully for the long haul as India's power demand grows strongly in line with its economy. We also demonstrated our capabilities repeatedly in efficient project execution and turnaround of acquisitions. In nutshell, ETL is a financially strong and agile entity with ample growth headroom and enjoys valuable backing of the large and diversified Adani portfolio. Thank you for your patience, and I would now like to open the forum to your questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Is it possible for you to give the availability of Bangladesh plant, also the revenues, EBIT and PAT for H1?
Bangladesh achieved a PLF of about 69%, and in terms of the revenue for H1, I'll give you the numbers. Total revenue of 2,500 crore, fuel expense is 2,500 crore, EBITDA being 892 crore, and PET after providing for depreciation and finance charge is 400 crore. And let me complete the availability is 99%.
99%, okay. And so where do we procure the coal for this?
We have an FSA we've been procuring from the open market as well, which is largely imported, and to some extent we also use the domestic coal.
Domestic coal, okay. And so currently, as of September, we have got trade receivables of around 105 billion. So, is there any disputed amount part of this where we are waiting final judgment?
No, all our issues have been resolved. What you see in the balance sheet, that is basically recognized on September 30th, but subsequently the money was realized. So there is no any large outstanding towards the old regulatory claims.
Okay. And so, how much was the unsecured perpetual debt paid off during the quarter? And also, how much was outstanding at the start, say, in March 23, and how much was paid, and how much is remaining as on date?
Yeah. The perpetual debt at the beginning of the financial year, as we speak, so say April 2023, was about 13,000 crores, and on September 30th, it is 9,000 crores. I'm giving you the rounded off numbers.
Okay. And so, how are we placed on the orders for Mahan 2? Have we placed all the orders, or is something remaining?
Mahan 2 expansion you're talking about?
Yeah, Mahan 2.
The last package has been, the order has been placed with DFEL. It happened about 2.5 months back, so which takes care of the substantial component of the packages. You know. And balance as we move forward, it will be taken care of.
Nishit here, just a small thing to add. So actually in this project, we are going with a split package contracting philosophy. So there is a large number of packages to be awarded. So there is the main EPC, or you can say rather the BPG package, which has been awarded to EATL. And then there are a number of other balance of plant and other contractual packages to be awarded over a period.
As Rishi rightly pointed out, that it is not an EPC contract-based philosophy. We are going on strict package-based philosophy. There are approximately about 50 packages that have to be contracted. BTG being the biggest one has already been placed with DSL, and team is in the process of placing the orders or contracting for the rest of the packages.
Okay. And so, do we have any other plan, or do we have any plans to add more thermal capacity going forward?
I think in public domain, we have already given the plans of about 6,000 megawatts total over and above what we have today, let us say 15,000 megawatts.
Right.
I'm talking about what numbers, from what numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So that is already planned and under active consideration to develop.
And these are expansion projects, as you know, that we have many locations and most of them have the adequate infrastructure to go for expansion. So we are evaluating it, as Mr. Kiyale mentioned, and we'll move forward once the plants are formalized.
Okay. And so just a final question. What is the total capex expected for Mahan 2?
Mahan 2 capex is about, I'll give you the numbers, 12,500 crores.
12,500. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Investments. Please go ahead. Nirav Shah, your line is unmuted.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible now. Please go
ahead. Yeah. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on fantastic numbers. So, a few questions. Firstly, we have a sizable open capacity. At the same time, our balance sheet has now strengthened a lot. So, what is the strategy over here in terms of will we keep it at this way or will we look to tie up part of it? Or just if you can elaborate on the strategy going forward.
Yeah, we have a capacity right now about close to about 3,000 megawatts, which is open capacity. And we keep deploying either the power generated goes to either to the commercial market or we keep entering into short-term contracts and then we keep renewing it as and when the tender comes. So it is two-point strategy. Either, as you know, that the merchant market has been quite good in last 1 year and so. So which has really has... largely contributed in achieving a good amount of a bit of what we have presented to you. And we'll keep looking at the possibilities. If short-term, medium-term contracts are coming, we do apply and we'll like to gain our open capacity accordingly. But it is something which we are not very concerned about because last 2 years' experience has been very good in terms of deployment of our open capacity.
Got it. Makes sense. And sir, just with the current net worth and net debt position, I mean, what is the strategy to improve our ratings and at the same time to explore the dollar funding market?
Yeah, as you know, the post-merger, the rating of the company has already improved. We have been rated by CRISIL and India Ratings both. While India Ratings has given us A with positive outlooks and CRISIL has given A stable. And now post-merger and with a lot of positive developments that have taken place, we do intend to approach the rating in the game for review and hopefully in a few months from now, we can see, of course, subject it will depend on their evaluation. But we are quite hopeful that the trade profile of the company has improved significantly. We had a very strong case for rating improvement.
Got it. Thanks, sir.
As far as the international market is concerned, at this point of time, we are not pursuing it.
Got it. And sir, on the tax rate, I mean, we have had a good amount of profits coming in the last few quarters. So what is the position on the carry forward losses or by when will we expect to start paying coming under the normal tax bracket?
No. Now, I tell you that we have about carry forward losses about, of, as we speak on September 30th, about 25,000 crore. And that will give us enough shield for about next year and a half. And there will, and then let's see how it goes. And hopefully we may come in the tax bracket.
Got it. And last question is on our inorganic opportunities. I mean, it in the media it's coming about for the two plants, but overall, what is the strategy over here?
See, I must tell you that today our fleet of eight operating plants now, four of them have been acquired by us. And if you look at our track record, we have a strong track record of turning around these stress assets. So we do value the opportunities as and when they come in the market or come to our light. And depending upon the cost benefit analysis, the cost at which is available, the terms, we evaluate it and take a call whether we have to go for it or not.
Got it, sir. Got it. Great. Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Dhruv Mishra from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. The first question was on the Gujarat PPA. I think there was some readjustment in the last quarter. Does it continue even in the current quarter? And have we, what is the, approach that we're taking for that adjustment? I mean, are we providing for it or is it part of EBITDA or revenue?
Yeah, Rajiv, you will take this? Yeah, in the last quarter, we took an adjustment of around 1,200 crore because of the index adjustments. Because as per the CRC order, the tariff computation is based on the GR, based on the base rate as well, and the CRC indexation as for the 6 months. So considering this order, we have taken an adjustment of 1,200 crore, and thereafter we are continuing to recognize the revenue based on the same method. So there is no subsequent adjustment required.
Okay. Okay. So on recurring basis, it is in line with what the order or what the...
What the CRC order says.
CRC order says. Okay. This was first. The second question, sir, was from a near to probably 3-6 months basis, we are seeing that the coal inventory across the system seems a bit low. Probably that will influence the availability of coal and probably even in the merchant market, the availability of volumes. So how do you see this impacting us or influencing us for our merchant portfolio? Probably?
Actually, the inventory of our power stations is quite good, and the recently concluded Shakti B8 auctions, we have fortunately got good quantity, and we don't foresee any issue for next 3 months. So at least for next 3 months, we are very comfortable, and by the time, obviously, the possibility of further production of coal going up is there, and we don't see any challenge now in this.
So for the next 3 months, you are reasonably secured in from your merchant market, from merchant coal.
Okay.
And so last two quick questions is on the FGD. Have we done the FGD capexes? And if not, then what is the quantum that has to be done? What is the likely capex that you'll have to do in the next 2-3 years for that?
Okay. You know, we have about 11,600 megawatt of the capacity which where we'll have to put the FGD in place. We've already placed the order for the FGD, and the target date or the date by which we have to have the FGD in place is between FY26 and 27. And we are well on course, and small capacity incurred, and going forward, this is the need arises, we'll keep spending it, but last capex will only come towards last 2 years. But we already placed the order, that is not something which I want to try to clarify.
Okay. So large capex will come in 26-27, not before that?
Last 2 years, because it doesn't take much time. We require about three and a half years to have a power plant in place. for upgrade installation, not more than 18 to 24 months. So large CapEx will come only in last 2 years.
And you will earn the regulated ROE, probably somewhere in that regulated ROE range, I think.
Across all our plants.
Yes, sir. And sir, one last clarification on your PPT. You have given the merchant volumes, long-term PPA and this. So in the merchant volumes, you even include PPAs, plants where you have PPAs for, say, 2-3 years. Those are also included in that, or that's part of the long-term?
That is part of the, we have the classification is PPA, short-term and long-term both. So
if for example, the 2-year PPA or 3-year PPA is not part of PPA, it is part of medium and short-term, right?
Yes.
Perfect. Sure, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. Here's the next question as a follow-up question from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, sir. So can you give us the plant-wise EBITDA breakup for Mundra, Tiroda, basically all the plants?
We actually don't publish the plant-wise EBITDA numbers. Post the merger, now we have one single integrated company with Mahan and Goda being outside as a separate legal entities. So numbers what we presented, and we would like to present the consolidated number. If you want PLF plant-wise, that can be given.
No, sir. I wanted to have it at TA. And, sir, what is our average cost of borrowing as on date, as of September 23?
It's a little above 9%. As you know, the MCLR has gone up significantly in last 16-18 months or so. So our cost of borrowing also, because it's MCLR-linked borrowing, and current MCLR is about 8.45. And lenders do charge some margin on that. So our average cost of borrowing is around 9.05 or so.
Okay.
And this is the weighted average cost of all borrowings.
Okay. And so last question, how much amount of our capacity is tied up with medium-term PPAs?
Through medium term, we have 500 megawatt tied up, and rest is merchant.
Rest is merchant.
No, we are talking about the total capacity, which is around 3,000 megawatt under open capacity. Out of that 3,500 is tied up through medium term. So, effectively, 2,500 is completely merchant.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kemani from Suvij Enterprise. Please go ahead.
My question is about how do you see the political risk extract to our company? Say, for example, the Bangladesh situation is there, and another is the Indian politicals that every second day blame on the company for doing some wrongs.
I think this call is on our performance, and let us focus the discussion on the numbers and APL Adani Power's operations. As far as Bangladesh is concerned, we have a legally binding PPA with them, and which is backed by the sovereign guarantee. So we basically we are fully secure as far as our supply of power to Bangladesh is concerned. Beyond that, we will not like comment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. A reminder to our participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I would now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much to all the participants for your time, and it was really great interacting with you, and it has been after a long gap, we are having this interaction with you, and we are happy to provide any information which you require. You can contact, you can touch base with Nishit Dave, who basically is head of our IR, and we'll be very happy to clarify or answer any of the queries which you may have. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.